God is good. Okay, what's it say in Psalms? God is good.
All the time.
Yes, you got it. And his mercy endures forever. Amen? So God is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Kathy, my wife, my beautiful wife. Do you have a mic for her?
I do, right here.
Yeah. She wants to say a few words. We are a team. And we have teamed up with Donna here and with you as well. And we look forward to what God is going to do.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this on?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's good to be here, always. I just wanted to share a little bit of my journey as far as coming here for the next, I don't know, however long the Lord says. A couple years ago, Dan would say to me, what would you say about starting a church? And I'm like, nah, no way. You know, it just wasn't on my radar at all. And then about half a year ago or so, I said to him, you know what? The Lord's really putting something on my heart about a church. I don't know what it is, but something. And hey, we're here. So I just think it's pretty awesome how the Lord speaks to you and gets you prepared for what he has for you. So we love you, and we look forward to serving you as much as we can in the best of our ability.
Yes.
Amen. I'll just put it here. That was a transformation in her. I didn't know if we were going to start a church or not, but there was something in my heart about being involved in a church, more in a leadership role. We lead a Tuesday night Bible study, and by the way, there's a few of those members here today. So we greet you. Thank you for coming. We thank you all for being here and for coming, and I count it a privilege to bring the Word of God to you whenever we have opportunity. So it was kind of on our heart for a while, as I think I shared last week, to do something, and then this opened up, and we'll see where it goes.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
We take a day at a time. My mom, who died in 1992, long time ago, 33 years? Wow. It's amazing. And we'd go home sometimes and we'd share some things that we're dealing with. And she would always say, well, let's take one day at a time. And that has been a lesson that has been with us for all these years. She had 12 children. I'm one of 12. Kathy is one of 14. Her dad was an Amish preacher. But we always had a good relationship with him, even though we didn't stay Amish. And so when we buried her, we draped a banner over her casket, which said, one day at a time. That's how we endeavor to live. That's how our involvement here will be, one day, one week, or whatever, because we will move forward as the Spirit of God directs us. Amen? I do know we will be here for the summer and probably longer. I'm not going to put any timeline on it whatsoever. So thank you again for your, what would I say, for your affirmation. Since it was announced last week, we have had a number of people mention to us how God had already spoken to them. So that's like a confirmation that we're on the right track. Amen?
Yes.
All right, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. I do want to mention a few things, a few of the announcements. You notice that on July 26th, we would like to meet with the leaders and those who are involved here in the congregation. 9 o'clock breakfast. Now, I know maybe not everybody can make it because it's summertime and so on, but what we share will be recorded and you will be able to listen to it. So I guess there's a sign-up thing for that, right? So Brad knows how much eggs to make for us. So just to put that in your calendar, we just feel that we should get together and just share our hearts with you, Kathy and I, and Donna as well, and share our hearts concerning the church and our involvement here. I'm not talking about just us. I'm talking about all of our involvement here and some things that the Spirit of God wants to speak to us. And then another thing is September 5th and 6th will be the men's retreat this year. Myself and Dave Landis, we've known Dave Landis for years and years, and I know he's been here probably many times, and he's been a real blessing. But I think one of the first trips we took to India, Dave Landis was with us. And so we've known him for many years. So we will be speaking. Our theme this year is Men Building a Culture of Caring. Men Building a Culture of Caring. So all you men, come out and we'll have a great time.
Yes.
All right. See, I believe not just men, but all of us should have a caring heart, build a caring culture. We should build a caring culture in the church, in our families, in our relationships, in our business, and everywhere we go. We should have a caring culture. In other words, we care for people. We are more concerned about people than we are about some of the, how can I word this that it sounds right? Because I don't want you to go out of here and say that I said certain things because there was a misunderstanding. I believe we need to have a ministry of excellence. Amen?
Amen.
And in the mechanics of the ministry, I think we should be excellent in what we do. But along with that, we need to have a caring heart for people. Because Jesus is more concerned about people than he is about my ministry.
Absolutely.
He's more concerned about people than he is about the mechanics of how we do things, even though those things are important. So we want to share some things from our heart, myself and Dave Landis, and we'll have times of sharing together in fellowship to talk about how we can be caring and how people need to be first in our lives. Because those people all around us have needs.
That's right. Absolutely.
And we're there. God has put us there to help meet that need. Amen. I'm already preaching much better than you're saying amen. All right. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We believe that the Word of God is a foundation which is firm and sure and will not be shaken. We thank you, Lord, that today we have opportunity to build that Word into our lives so that we will not be shaken by the circumstances and the things around us. Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit. We thank you that he leads us, he guides us. He's always there for us. And we thank you that today he is our teacher. We thank you, Lord, that he'll take the Word of God and cause it to be alive on the inside of us. Thank you for your anointing on me to minister the Word of God, and that it will come forth with clarity, not of the letter which kills, but of the Spirit which gives life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5. I think the last three times now that we have spoken here, we talked about this scripture, and we will continue to talk about it until we feel Holy Spirit is finished, or maybe till we get it. Brother Hagin used to say, I'm going to preach the same thing till you get it. I'm not saying that. But there is something about when God is speaking certain things to us as a group that we need to get it. But Holy Spirit is the one who helps us with that. I like when you respond. In fact, I have an expectation that you will respond.
That's right.
If not, maybe I'll get you to respond. I don't know. So verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." We said that this word circumspectly means you're watchful in every direction. You're watchful in every area of your life. You're watchful so that the enemy cannot get in. We become aware of his schemes through the Word of God. We become aware of the darts and so forth that he sends our way.
Yes.
And those are exposed through the Word of God.
Yes.
So that helps us to be watchful. To be watchful, to be aware. Now, I don't think we should put him on a high pedestal. We shouldn't constantly be talking about him, about the devil, and all the things that he does and things like that. We should be more focused on what Jesus does for us and what the Word of God does for us. But in that, he is exposed, and therefore his schemes are exposed. And if we are aware of his schemes, we can see him coming. Or when he knocks on your door, you say, "You know, you're not coming in," because you recognize him. We only have this kind of authority because of Jesus Christ. It's not because of us. It's not because of what I do. But we must always give the glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who died on the cross. He defeated the devil. Amen. He defeated the devil. And he arose again so that we could have new life.
Yes.
He died on the cross so that my sins can be washed away, the consciousness of sin being taken away from within me. I am a new man in Christ. You are a new person in Christ.
Yes.
If you have accepted Christ into your life.
Yes.
And then he died on the cross so that our sins could be paid for and forgiven. And then he arose again so that we could have new life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We have that new life every day.
Yes.
But because it's on the inside of us. So from that, we always approach the enemy, or when he comes at us, we always approach him with authority. Because we have been given the same authority that Jesus was given when he died and he rose and he sat at the right hand of God. The word "sat at right hand of God" means he has authority. It's more than just sitting at my right hand. It is a position of authority when the Bible talks about sitting at the right hand. So Jesus is sitting on that authority. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we are seated with him. So that means we have authority. So we have authority over the enemy. When we pray, we should be praying from a position of authority, rather than a position of defeat.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
All right, so we see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Two times ago, we talked about this scripture specifically. When we know the Word of God, then we know the will of God. And if we know the will of God, then we become wise, because it says we're unwise if we don't know the will of God.
Right.
But if I know the will of God, then I walk in the wisdom of God.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know why we approach things from a negative perspective so many times. We should approach it more from a positive perspective. I do know the will of God.
Yes.
Now, I don't know his will about everything. But the more we spend time in the Word of God, the more I know his will. And when I know his will, then I have the wisdom of God in my life. Now, it's okay to ask for wisdom, because James says we can ask for wisdom. But really, the wisdom of God comes from the Word of God. And if I put the Word of God into my life, then I am walking in the wisdom of God. I'm not always trying to get it. I already have it. Now, I'm trying to get more, because I want to know more about the Word of God. But that which I have put on the inside of me, that is the wisdom of God that I'm walking in.
Yes.
And that is not pride, because it's because of Jesus Christ. I give him the honor and glory for it. So that's what it means. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now the next verse, we started on this last week, and we will continue today. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled. Be filled. Be what?
Be filled.
Be filled. Be what?
Be
Be filled with the Spirit. These are the two foundational things that must be in our lives for us to experience the victory that God has for us.
Yes.
That is to have the Word of God as a foundation and to be filled with His Spirit.
Go ahead.
Now, I know when we started the church in 1979, there was a number of us. I see some more of the Dempsey family here this morning. Good to see you. And the Dempsey family was always close to us. You already know that I will cry, so you can either cry with me or just wait till I can talk. But I know a few of the girls babysat our kids back then. Which one? I know Jeannie's here, and you, Ann?
Liz.
Liz, I think you used to babysit the kids sometimes. So they were a real blessing to us. So where was I? Got sidetracked there. So I've preached this way back then, but it's always good to be reminded. I will not apologize for preaching it again and again and again because it's so important in our lives. So it says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, if I have these two things in my life, if I have the Word of God, the wisdom of God, being the wisdom of God, and if I'm filled with the Spirit, the next verses will happen in my life.
Absolutely.
It's not like I have to try to get myself into a place where I think I have to, oh yeah, I got to speak in psalms. Oh yeah, I got to encourage people. Oh yeah, I got to make a melody in my heart. It's not where I have to get over into works and try to make these things happen. When I'm filled with the Spirit, these things are the fruit or a byproduct of being filled with the Spirit. And look what it says. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart unto the Lord, and giving thanks.
Yes.
We like that verse.
Definitely.
Giving thanks. Giving thanks. Did you know that giving thanks and having a thankful attitude and a thankful heart is a result of being filled with the Spirit? So if you turn that to the negative, what's the opposite of giving thanks?
Mully grubs.
Wow, you guys are attentive. Some of you don't know what mully grubs are. Well, when I first mentioned here, nobody knew what mully grubs were. James, do you know what mully grubs are? Mully grubs when you're down in the dumps. You know what down in the dumps is? Huh? You're discouraged and you're just blah, blah, always negative and critical and judgmental and all those kind of things. That's mully grubs. So we have a word here now at Abundant Life Center, mully grubs. You've been studying. Did you find it in the Greek? I don't think you'll find it in the Greek, not mully grubs. So rather than being that way, being grumbling, complaining,
yes,
mully grubs, whatever you want to call it, that's the opposite of being thankful. And if I am not thankful, according to this scripture, I must not be filled with the Spirit at that moment. Because I believe we initially get filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe we get the Holy Ghost comes to live on the inside of us when we get born again. And then we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, according to the book of Acts, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the speaking in tongues.
Yes.
And that becomes a power in our lives, or the rivers that Jesus talked about. But then as time and life goes on, sometimes we need revival. You know, I don't know why people keep talking about revivals coming.
It's here. It's near you.
I mean, way back in 1977, 78, when we were at Rhema Bible Training Center as students, they said revival's coming. Then just this past week, we were at a retreat of Rhema, what do you call it? RMI, Rhema Ministers International Association, RMAI. We were up in Connecticut for 3 days. And we had Denise Hagen, which is the daughter of Pastor Hagen, which is the granddaughter of Brother Hagen. She is now, her and her brother are now running the Bible College. And she was awesome in the word that she brought to us. There was about 150, 200 maybe, around 150 ministers there. And just had a wonderful time. But even in our circles, and not just at the Rhema circles, but in many places that we go, we're still talking about revival coming. Boy, you got quiet. I tell you, if you look around and you open your eyes, it's amazing some of the things that are happening in our world.
Absolutely.
It's amazing what some of the things that are happening in our nation. I can choose to look at all the negative things, and we need to be aware of them so that we can pray and so on. But on the other hand, let's choose also to look at the positive things and the great things that are happening. I mean, you see the Spirit of God poured out in college campuses, in some of these liberal college campuses, where the Spirit of God just comes when they're worshiping and praying. You see people coming into the White House and the Oval Office and praying with President Trump. And he loves when ministers come and lay hands on him. I mean, if that's not revival, I don't know what is, after the 4 years we had before. All right, I better get off that subject now. But it's true. And we see in churches some places just the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So why don't we say that we're in revival? Because I believe we are. Now, of course, there's much more that can happen. But we need revival. I need revival every day in my life. I need a renewal. I need to make sure that I am experiencing renewal of Holy Spirit every day. And I do that by spending time in the Word of God, maybe spending time in prayer, but it's not a works thing. You're just conscious of the Holy Spirit with you.
Yes.
And you're constantly aware of His presence on the inside of you. And you're constantly maintaining that, or you're guarding that by continuing to meditate on some of the scriptures that I'm going to give you today.
Yes.
So revival is here.
Yes.
You say, well, I want to be a part of it. Well, you are. If you're following after the Spirit of God and you're doing the promptings of the Holy Spirit, you're a part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I'm not a part of a big service somewhere where the pulpit is split in half or fire comes down or anything like that. I mean, those things are wonderful. But you have Holy Ghost with you every day. And as you minister to people, you will experience a renewal and revival in your life.
Yes.
Come on, I'm preaching really good. So revival. Another thing we say, while I'm on it, are you okay? You going to smile at me or not?
Yeah.
You know, we're always believing for breakthrough. That's okay to believe for breakthrough. But when is breakthrough going to finally come? It's here.
Absolutely.
I said it's here. Spirit of God is in us. So it's always there. Breakthrough. The things I need. The victory I need. It's here. I receive it now.
Yes.
Faith is always present tense.
Today.
Amen.
That's right.
So speaking to one another. Giving thanks. I got off a little bit there. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this next one. What's the next word? Word. Verb. What's the next word? Huh? Submitting. Submitting. We usually don't like that word because we think it's control. But in true submission from Holy Spirit, there is no control in it. The word actually means you're supporting one another. Excuse me. Can you give me a... We have signs and wonders here. I'm making signs. She's wondering what I want. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting, supporting one another. They're in my little bag there. Yeah, I'm going to cough drop. Thank you. She'll get it for me. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting, supporting one another. Not trying to control each other. Not trying to make a works thing out of it. But simply supporting one another in what God has called you to do. Randy was talking about that at the Sunday school hour. He's talking about how we need to receive the giftings that each one of us have and support each other in those giftings. That's what the word submit means. It doesn't mean that I'm trying to tell you what to do. I'm not trying to control your life. But I support you in what the Spirit of God has called you to do. Then the next verse talks some more about submitting. And maybe we should have a marriage thing here. I don't know. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. There again, we don't like, especially the wives, they don't like this because they think it gives the husband the right to control the wife. It does not. It means that we're a team. We're supporting one another.
Absolutely.
We're not trying to control one another. I don't try to control her. Even if I try, I can't. We love each other. We have fun.